Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We have Evangelist Janice Taylor. We're going to let her introduce herself to you. She's going to tell you the topic of the sermon, how you can purchase her music, and we're going to get this thing started right now for the next 1 hour and 56 minutes. You have the mic, Evangelist Janice Taylor.
Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Let all the saints of God say praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our website is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. We're located at P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. You can reach us email at jet245@msn.com or by phone, area code 336-575-0206. The music that you just heard is from the CD, my CD, A New Beginning, which you can purchase at cdbaby.com or get it on iTunes. Or you can write me at the P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. That CD sells for $10. Be sure to include shipping and handling for that. I'll be happy to get that out to you. Well, today we have a very interesting topic. I don't choose the topics. I let the Lord give them to me, and then we just go from there. So tonight's message is, now is the time. Now is the time. And our scripture for that comes from Romans 13 and 11. And it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I just want to encourage the people of God tonight. I know everybody seems to be going through something, but I'm telling you that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's closer than when we first accepted Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, time is so short, it's closer than you think. You know, I remember on last Sunday, we were having a service and had a message prepared to share with the people of God, but I could not even share the message because we began to talk about the glory of God and to what a privilege it is that one day we will behold God's glory. And we got so caught up, we just were in just the presence, the manifest presence of the Lord. The glory actually came down. But the Lord gave a strong warning in our service, and that word was, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Time is very short. Not many years ago, I had a dream, and in this dream, I bought a watch. I went in a store, a jewelry store, and bought a watch. But I didn't set the watch in the jewelry store. I came outside. It seems as if I was about to catch a bus or something, and I tried to set the watch while I was outdoors. And so I started asking people that were passing by, did they know what time it was? And each one said no, they didn't know, they didn't have any idea what time it was. And I woke up, and the Lord spoke to me from that dream and said, nobody knows the time. Nobody is cognizant of the time that we are living in. So we're going to go to the Word of God and see what the scriptures have to tell us about the time that we are living in. Glory be to God. And our first scripture comes from Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather together stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And it goes on to say that God has set everything in its place, in its time. God has set everything. Everything is in motion. The old church used to sing a song, everything is moving by the power of God. Everything has been set in motion by the Lord. So time is a really, to us, it's a big deal. And it should be to the believer when it comes to our salvation. It's time to get saved, y'all. It's time to be born again. It's time to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's time for believers, I don't care where you are, it's time for us to draw closer to the Lord. It's time to forsake sin. It's time, glory be to God, to be about our Father's business. So time on that hand is important, but time as far as, you know, what we know it as chronos, but God deals in kairos, and time in chronos is 1201, 1202, 1203. So it's minute by minute, second by second that's passing away. But I want to tell you something. There is a time that's coming that every one of us are going to have to give an account for the deeds done in our flesh. Glory be to God. Now, the Bible says in Joel 2:1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. This was an urgent warning to God's people so that they could prepare themselves for the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is now. The day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord. And at the day of the Lord began ever since Jesus Christ ascended on high. So we're living in the day of the Lord. Now, this message still applies to the people of God, even now more than ever, because God is telling us that the time is at hand. It's time to get our business right with the Lord. Playtime is over. We saw on last year, we saw how this pandemic, as a matter of fact, 2020, how this pandemic hit the whole world, and it took us all by surprise. Well, I want you to know it did not take God by surprise. And people who thought they had more time actually have no time now. They are gone. And so God is letting us know that there's no more time for playing church. And if we notice, or playing with God, if we notice that the churches were hardest hit by the pandemic, the whole world tried to shut down the churches. Now, the true churches of God, they remained open. You know why? Because God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But there are churches that shut down. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me on April the 13th of 2020, and he said, many of the churches I am shutting down. He said, because they have idolatry. They have made idols in my house. He said, and they have false fire on the altar. Glory be to God. And y'all that are Bible scholars, y'all remember when Nadab and Abihu put false fire on the altar, what happened to them? The fire burnt them up. You see, it's time out for playing church, and it has never been a time to play with God. Time is winding up. I say it again. Time is winding up. So it behooves us to get our business straight, because time is winding up. It's time to get right with God. And you can't get yourself right. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Now, I talked about time in Chronos, but God operates in Kairos, which is seasons. And the word time actually means moed. Glory be to God. Now, in Kairos, time is a season. Glory be to God. So we have seed, time, and harvest. We have summer, winter, spring, and fall. And Ecclesiastes says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to live, time to die, time to rejoice, time to mourn. It's time for each of those things, but they come in seasons. Glory be to God. And I'm so grateful that I have experienced every one of those seasons, but those seasons were not permanent. Glory be to God. But there is one season that is going to be permanent. I tell everybody that eternity is the longest word in the dictionary. Eternity is forever. There is eternity heaven, and there is eternity hell. And all you have to do is choose Jesus as your Savior, and you will spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you reject him, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you reject the gospel, if you reject the blood of the Lamb, you will spend eternity in hell. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care what type of humanitarian deeds you do. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, oftentimes people don't just come right out and say, I reject him. In other words, actually reject him by default, by not choosing him, by not receiving him as their Lord and Savior. So God has set everything in motion according to his will and time. Now I want to ask the question, do you know what time it is? Do you know what season you are living in? Now, if we think about that, that ought to make you tremble, because we don't know what time we are living in. We don't know what season we are in our lives. You know, just on last week or the week before last, 11 people went in a grocery store, something as common as going to get groceries, and they ended up dead. They ended up dead. A gunman went in there and took their life. They had no idea that their time was up, was going to be up that day. They just went to the grocery store. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Lord be. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were partying. They were drinking. They were going about their normal way of life. Everything seemed normal. But the scripture said, and suddenly they knew not when the flood came and took them all away. So these people, and I'm not belittling them or even speaking against them. They had no idea when they went in that grocery store. They walked in that grocery store in Buffalo, New York. They had no idea that they were not going to walk out. You see, time waits for no one. Now, just on last week in Texas, 19 people were in a school. As a matter of fact, they had awards that morning. Three of those children received awards for having high marks. One mother said she was at the award to see her child get his award. And she said she had no idea when she left the school that day, that would be the last time she would see her child alive. You see, time waits for no one. Now is the time. All right? Have you taken time to consider where you will spend eternity? If Jesus comes back right now, can you go back with him? Can you say for a surety that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I'm born again and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you repented of your sins and been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you breathe out right now and don't breathe back in, where will you spend eternity? Will you hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joy of the Lord? Or will he say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, so many people say, I know the Lord. The question is not whether you know the Lord. It's does he know you? Glory be to God. Now is the time. This is the acceptable time to make your calling and election sure, according to 2 Peter 1 and 10. This is the day that the Lord has made. This very moment is all the time that we have. This is the day of the Lord. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So there's something, some characteristics about this time that I want to talk about. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And this is what it says. It said, this know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Glory be to God. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's where all this homosexuality is coming from. That is unnatural affection. The Bible calls it inordinate affection. It's improper, okay? False accusers, incontinent, fierce. Fierce means extremely cruel and violent. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the scripture says, from such, turn away. Now, let's look at these perilous times and see, do we see a parallel in our time today? All right. It says that that men and women will not endure sound doctrine. So the preaching of the gospel is not popular anymore. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear anything about holiness and righteousness. They say that's too offensive. That don't drive the people away, the masses away. People want to hear messages like you're good and I'm good, when that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. All right, so in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it gives us an accurate description of what these perilous times would look like. First of all, men will be lovers of their own selves. I have never in my life seen so many people enamored with themselves. If you go on Facebook, that's all you see is people posting pictures of themselves. They're just in love with themselves. They are covetous, and they are boast. People even boast in sin today. You know, it disturbs me how people who profess to be saved can say, oh, I'm still me. How can you still be you when the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. He didn't say some things, but he said all things are become new. We become a new creation when we receive Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you change everything. Everything about us changes. There's a saying, Jesus changes everything, and it is so true. All right? So people have become proud. They are blasphemers. They blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, for which there is no forgiveness for. They are disobedient to parents. I'm telling you, I have been an educator for the past 18 years. I am so disenchanted with the field of education. I have never seen young people talk to their parents the way that they do. And I'm saying to myself, who's running the show here? Whose house is it? These young people are disobedient to their parents, and it trickles over to the schoolhouse. You know, they cuss teachers out. They jump on teachers. They fight teachers. See, what you see in the news is when a teacher done snapped and then strikes back. Now, I don't approve of that. I really don't. I think that we should remain professional at all times. But you did not see when that child was antagonizing, torturing, and tormenting that teacher, even threatening that teacher. See, I've had that happen to me. I've had students cuss me out like a dog. But I learned something about cussing kids. I say, if you follow cussing kids home, somebody cussing will answer the door. They're only doing what they have been programmed to do at home. They are unthankful. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you give these kids today. You can give them a Sega Genesis. You can give them the latest game, PlayStation 5. I don't care what you give them. You can give them the latest iPhone. It doesn't matter. You can give them $10,000. They are unthankful. I've never seen kids who will not say thank you. But again, acorns don't fall far from trees. They have unthankful parents. We don't thank God for things. We tend to think somebody owe us something, like God should have gave me that, and he should have gave it to me yesterday. You see, we have gotten so out of order that we don't even know that we are out of order. All right, the scripture says, without natural affection. Never in my life have I seen so much homosexuality, lesbianism, just men with men and women with women. Now, it's always been, but it was always sort of like a secret sin. But now they are so bold, they're holding hands, they're kissing, all in the Walmart, all in the grocery store. It's all on television. They are proud, proud to be out of order with God. They are proud to be flagrantly in sin. They are proud. And then they have the nerve to say, you can't tell me who to love. That's not even love. That is pure lust. As a matter of fact, it's worse than lust. It is debauchery. It is debauchery because the Bible says in the beginning, God created man and woman, male and female, in his image. God, when Adam was lonely, God put him to sleep and he made him a helpmeet. He took a rib out of Adam and made woman and presented it to him. If God had wanted two men to be together, he would have made Adam a helpmate. He would have made him another man, but he did not. He made him a woman, and he made it for the purpose that they should go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. Two men cannot replenish the earth. Two women cannot replenish the earth. But these women, and you know what? What makes me, it saddens me. These women will go and get a woman that looks like a man. Well, that tells me something. Honey, you really want a man. You went and got one that looked like a man. Why don't you just get you a man? Because that's what you really want. That's what you were made for. The woman was made for the man. So I'm not just going there with you. I'm just not. I'm going to tell you the truth and still eat your fried chicken. I'm going to tell you just what the Bible says. And the Bible says it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man and for a woman to lie with a woman. It's abomination. Glory be to God. So I know it's tight, but it is right. And I'm sticking with it because it is the word of God. It is the word of truth. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They are without natural affection. They are truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Now, this word fierce means that they are violent. They are violent. And if you look in the news, all you got to do is just look in the news every day. There's murder upon murder upon murder and murder. And, you know, people have been murdering people for years. That's nothing new. But now they dismembering them. They cutting people's heads and toes and eyes and cutting the babies out their stomach. They are fierce. That is the spirit of Antichrist. I listened to Derek Prince last night. He said that the Antichrist is going to be cruel. He is going to be cruel, and the spirit of Antichrist is cruel. And so we need to know, the more you see all this fierceness, this wrath, you see that the enemy is just, he is just raging. He's tearing people apart, tearing lives apart. He's destroying. He's on the rampage. Why? Because Satan knows that his time is short. They are fierce. They are despisers of those that are good. I worked on a job. I worked at a Christian school, and there was a woman. Everybody at this school was supposed to be Christians. There was a woman that hated me for no reason. But I realized something. She had the spirit of a witch. She knew I knew it, and she hated me. Now, she was supposed to, because the Bible says, think it not strange. But I couldn't figure out for a long time. I tried to be nice to her. I tried so many things. But she hated me because she saw the spirit that was in me. Lovers of pleasure. Hallelujah. They love pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, they love money. These people love money today. They love money. I'm telling you something. They had this little thing, M-O-G. And I said, well, what does that mean? It said, money over God. I was like, you gotta be kidding. And so then a couple of them, I guess they felt embarrassed by it, so they went and they changed it around and put G-O-M, God over money. But, you know, they truly spoke their heart when they said money over God, because so many have sold their souls to the devil because of the love of money. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and see what the word says about that. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it didn't say money was evil, but it said the love of money. People kill for the love of money. People steal for the love of money. People lie for the love of money. People do all sorts of ungodly things for the love of money. So the scripture says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Glory be to God. The Bible says they are fierce. They are despisers of those that are good. They are traitors. There's so much betrayal going on today. I mean, so much betrayal. David said, if it had been my enemy, he said it was not my enemy, but my own acquaintance. We took sweet fellowship together. We went into the sanctuary together. He said, if it had been my enemy, I could have borne it. He said, I could have bared it, but it wasn't my enemy. It was somebody that I knew, somebody that I trusted. It was that person who betrayed me. We saw how Judas betrayed Jesus. All right? They are heady, high-minded. You know, people trying to afford the top dollar stuff. You look at these young people, they got all this stuff. They're trying to live like the Hollywood lifestyles of the rich and famous, or the housewives Hollywood of Los Angeles or somebody. And they don't have that kind of money, but they're trying to live like that. Throwing children $1,300 birthday parties. Just bake them a little cake. Give them some ice cream. Have some little friends there. Cupcakes and ice cream. That's all these kids need, putting them on designer clothes. What do a three-year-old need with some designer clothes when you can't pay your rent? What sense does that make? Okay? High-minded. It's a pleasure. More than lovers of God. And this stuff has crept into the church, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says we must work while it is day, because no man can work when it is night. So we're going to continue talking about time, because I need you to know that now is the time. Time is so short. Time is so very short. Listen what John says. Little children, it is the last time. That's 1 John 2 and 18. Time is almost over. It's time to make sure you have your business straight with the Lord. Don't play Russian roulette with your life. So many people, if you ask them if they are saved, they'll say, yeah. And then when you say, can you explain your salvation? Can you explain the gospel to me? They can't explain the gospel. They can't explain their salvation. They don't know. They just say, I just know. No, that's not good enough. You have to have a biblical reference to tell somebody that you are saved. You got to know it from the Bible that you are saved and how you are saved. You don't have time to waste guessing or hoping. That's what a man told me. I said, sir, are you saved? He said, I hope so. I told him, sir, you don't have to hope. You don't have to guess. You don't have to, I think so. You can know so. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you are saved. You can know for sure if you repent of your sins. See, they leaving that out today. A lot of churches not even making altar calls. Nobody gets to go to the altar anymore. You know what they saying? Anybody want to join the church? How you going to join the church and you ain't even saved? You got to put things in order. So the Bible says repent. Peter preached the very first message in Acts, and he said, men and brothers, after he got through preaching, he said, what shall we do? And the men of God that were there asked the question, say, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, every one of you. Good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. My God, I'm finna find it right now. This is what Peter said. But Peter standing up with the 11. No, that's not it. He went on to say, men and brethren, he spoke to them and he said, what shall we do? He said, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That was the first word. See, you got to repent. And then he said, and be baptized. We putting the cart before the horse. People getting baptized and they ain't even repented. Glory be to God. This is not the order of God. He says, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we got to repent. Before you do anything, before you go to shake the preacher's hand, before you join the church, before you get on the choir, before you start ushering, you must repent in order to be saved. What does it mean to repent? First of all, it means to have godly sorrow over your sins. Second, it means to turn from them. Turn from your sins. Glory be to God. So we have to repent because you and I, we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to guess. We don't have time to play. All you have to do is get out of your seat and make your way to the altar. That's all you got to do. Matter of fact, you can make an altar where you are right now. You can be saved where you are right now if you will repent. Get on your knees and repent. Apologize to God for the sins that you have done, for the way you have abused and misused this gift of life that he has given you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask him to teach you and to show you how to live this Christian life. God has already made a way of escape for you. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die and shed his blood for our sins. There is nothing else for him to do. All you have to do is repent and come to Jesus. Come now. Come while the anointing, hallelujah, that destroys the yoke is present. Come when you hear God's voice. He said, come, glory be to God. Come while you still have a chance. He said, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. It's time. Time, the time is now. Now is the time to be born again. Now is the time to come out of sin. Now is the time to give your life to Jesus. Glory be to God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. He said, for I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Time is short. You don't have time to play. You don't have time to get off into the fleshly things. You have to withdraw yourself. The scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Glory be to God. All right? Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth and hear, that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein. For the time is at hand. Oh, I got to turn to Matthew. Good God Almighty. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Because Matthew, the Bible is going to tell us something from the book of Matthew. He says, Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only God knows when Jesus is coming. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, a few weeks ago, the apostle Overton, he was talking and he was teaching on this, And I was so blessed because he actually did a comparison between the days before the flood and Matthew 24. And he talked about some things that were actually happening during the days before the flood. So I want to share some of those things with you. One of the things that he talked about was the lawlessness, the lawlessness. We see that. We see that happening right now, the lawlessness. There is so much lawlessness. And this is what the Lord said in Genesis chapter 6. He said, and the earth also, Genesis 6 and 11, said the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Don't we see that today? That violence. And he says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You see, God saw the violence. He saw the corruption. All of that is what is written in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And all of that is what exists today. There is so much corruption, so much chaos. The earth is groaning. The earth is trembling. The earth is rocking violently. The earth is quaking. Glory be to God, because of the violence. Because of the violence and the murder and the blood that's being shed. There's so much bloodshed, just so much bloodshed. And these are parallel to what we are seeing in our time today. And so I'm saying to you today, saints of God, hear me and hear me well. Now is the time. Now is the time to make your calling an election sure. Now is the time to draw nigh unto God, that he may draw nigh unto you. Now is the time to forsake sin, to come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to live holy. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. It is time to live holy. Glory be to God in the highest. Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. Glory be to God in the highest. When I think about that, that just blows my mind, because I remember what my life was like when I was in sin. I was wicked. I was ungodly. I was unclean. I was filthy and vile. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, he redeemed me. He forgave me. I repented of my sins. He washed me and he cleansed me. Glory be to God. Then he filled me with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now I am preaching the word of God and proclaiming the name of Jesus. But the message tonight is, now is the time. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know who's listening tonight. But you hear the voice of the Lord saying, now is the time. For somebody, it's going to be now or never. Glory be to God. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of sin. Forsake it. Come out of that fornication bed. Forsake it. Come out of that crack house. Forsake it. Come, run for your life. Run for your life. Come out of it. Come out of homosexuality. Run for your life. Come out of lesbianism. Run for your life. You know that it's wrong. You have no peace today. You know that that is not the order of God. You know that that is improper. But you've been doing this thing, and God is saying to you today, come out, glory be to God. Come out while you still have a chance, because now is the time. Glory be to God. I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. Glory be to God. I feel the anointing. God is saying to you today, those who are under the sound of my voice, God is saying to you, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now is the time. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. I have given you the word of the Lord for the people of God. I encourage you to come out. Come out, because now is the time. The only time that you have is now. Tomorrow is not promised to you, and yesterday is gone. It would behoove you to come out. Forsake it. Forsake it. Forsake it now. Hell, you got to run from it. You got to flee it. You got to run from sin. Come out. Come out from it right now. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, it might, hey, bullshit. It might seem like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do it. Yes, you can't do it. You can't on your own. But you can cry out to God, and he will deliver you. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. Glory be to God. He will break every chain that have you bound. But you got to take one step. Just take one step and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I tried to do it on my own, and I failed. And so I'm turning to you. I'm turning to you now, Lord, because now is the time. May the Lord bless you. May heaven smile on you. May God be with you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share this word with the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Apostle Emmett Overton, I turn the mic back over to you now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. I wish I had my shofar. I wish I had my shofar tonight. I don't have it with me, but if I had my shofar, I would sound the alarm. I would blow the trumpet in Zion. I bought me a shofar, and I asked the Lord to teach me how to blow it. So I went online, and I began to look at different people, how they blew the shofar. And then I ran across something that said you could buy the mouthpiece of a trumpet and put it into the shofar and blow that way. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I feel like that was cheating. I knew that I was not, I had had no training on how to blow that shofar. So I simply asked my father to teach me how to blow that shofar. And at first, I was getting a really weak sound out of it. But then he showed me how to blow it, and he gave me the wind to blow it. So now I can blow the shofar. I'm about ready to buy me another one now so I can blow the long-sounding shofar. But my point is that whatever you need, God's got it. If you will simply ask him, he will do it. He will do it. He will show you what to do. He will show you how to do it. But we have to take these matters to God. Now, I know that there's somebody that's listening to this message tonight. Now is the time. And the conviction is there. The conviction is there. You feel the conviction. You feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray for you. I just want you to raise your hands right now. I just want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you on behalf of your people tonight. I come lifting them up, oh God. Some are in need of one thing and some are in need of another. But God, you know what the people of God need. You know who needed to hear this message tonight. And you put them here so that they could hear this message tonight. So Father, they listen, and they listen because they were drawn by your spirit. Now, God, I'm asking you to move in their lives. They're standing here, oh God. They're eagerly submitting themselves unto you. And so, God, I'm asking you to deliver. Break the chains, oh God. Whatever have them bound, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke and I bind every unclean spirit that's been tormenting your people, oh God. I rebuke homosexuality. I bind that demon right now. I bind that lying spirit. I bind it in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, kata yarabo sheke, ekerera bashata robo kosata, ikayarabo she, makandria baspandria bokoxe, hekerera bashata. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pull down every stronghold, every principality, every spiritual wickedness. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Spiritual wickedness in high places, I pull it down right now, and I command it to be subject to the spirit of the living God. Hakato yarabo shata. Yekerabo shata. O karabo shata. E karabo shandriya basaya. I break those chains, God, that have your kotoro basaya, that have your people bound, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They don't want to be this way, God. They don't want to do the things that they're doing. They don't want to sin against you, God. But they've been trapped, been caught in the enemy's trap. But there is power, power from on high, power. Power from on high, God. Power over all the power of the enemy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I release them right now. I break it. I break every curse. I break every curse, oh God, that have your people bound. I break it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, I command them to be set free. Be free. Be free. Come out from among them and be free. Hallelujah. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rise up and walk in the newness of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. We give you the praise. Oh, God, we bless your holy name. And we thank you, God. We thank you. Chains are falling. Chains are falling off of your people. Even now, God, the yoke has been destroyed. The yoke has been destroyed by the power of the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Burn it up, God. Hakato, yadadabo shata. Ah, Yadadabosha, I release the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn up everything that is not like you. Wicked imaginations. Ikata Yadadabosha. God says some of the wicked imaginations is coming from what you're watching on TV. It's what you're watching on TV. It's what you're watching, what you're taking in your spirit. Hakato Rabashata. Ikadarabashata. Somebody need to turn the television off right now. Just turn it off. Just be obedient. Walk to the TV and cut it off. I want to tell you something. If you put two pit bulls in a fence, I want to ask the question, which one of those pit bulls, and they get in a fight, which one of those pit bulls is going to win the fight? The one you feed. If you feed in the flesh with all sorts of ungodly things that's on TV, the flesh going to win. If you feed in the spirit with the word of God, singing songs unto the Lord, making melody in your heart unto the Lord, then the spirit is going to win. So if you're feeding that flesh right now, cut that TV off. Cut it off. Glory be to God. If you're watching stuff that does not glorify God, cut it off. If you're listening to music that does not edify you, cut it off. Glory be to God. Hakata yoda rabashata. You see, you can't be 1 minute singing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, and the next minute you're talking about bumping and grinding. That doesn't edify God. That won't edify you, and it won't glorify God. Glory be to God in the highest. You got to cut that stuff off. You got to cut it off. You know what? Your phone has a on and off button. Did you know that? You can turn it off. Same with the TV. It has a on and off button. Same with the radio. You can turn the dial. Put it on a Christian station. Listen to the word. Listen to the word. Feed yourself the word of God. You can get you some ear pods and put them on and feed yourself the word of God all day and all night. You can listen to the word. Somebody needs to change what you listening to. You listening to the wrong stuff. You feed it's like a feeding tube, and it's just pumping it in you. It's pumping it in you, but it's poison. It's pumping it in you, and it's poison. It's poisoning your mind. It's poisoning your spirit. But I say to you today, cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, cut it off. Glory be to God. Come out from among them and be ye separate. The Spirit of the Spirit of the Lord wants to deliver you, but he will not overrule your will. He give you a choice. He give you free will. You have a choice. You can cut that mess off, or you can keep getting what you're getting. You can keep getting tormented. You can keep getting tormented. Can't sleep at night. You can keep getting tormented. You know, the enemy, he likes to torment you at night when you're unconscious. He likes to jump on you at night. Hallelujah. Suddenly, he come in your bedroom at night tormenting you. He likes to bring incubus and succubus and attack you in your sleep at night with ungodly desires. Ungodly desires. That's why some of you are struggling with pornography right now. You're struggling with pornography. You know, a young lady called me, and she said she was struggling with pornography. And I was just shocked. I had never heard of a woman say that before. And I said, well, how are you getting this? I was so clueless. I thought she was talking about magazines, because that's the only pornography I ever knew about. She told me no. She was pulling it up on her phone. I said, what? She said, yeah, I pull it up on my phone. She said, I be at work, and this urge come over me. She said, and I pull it up on my phone and go in the bathroom and take care of myself. So she called me for prayer, and she said, I want to get on with my ministry. I said, your ministry? I said, honey, you don't have no ministry. She said, well, this old woman in the church told me that I'll be all right. I said, then why did you call me? You called me, honey. I didn't call you. She thought she had a ministry, a drug deliverance ministry, and she was struggling with pornography. Is that crazy or what? You ain't got no ministry. You need to be ministered to.
Evangelist Taylor.
Yes, sir.
I had a guy call me. I can't say the nation because he may know just another foreigner overseas in Europe.
Okay. Okay.
He has a problem having sex with sheets.
With sheets?
Yeah.
Bed sheets.
No, a sheep, an animal.
Oh my God.
Yes. Another guy called me. He says he feels very vulnerable. And when his wife goes to work, he puts her nightgowns on him at night and skate in the street late at night and feel feminine. Demons.
Yeah, demons. That's what it is.
They're attacking everybody.
But you know what, Apostle? People yielding to this stuff. People yielding to it because you can have an unclean thought. You can have an unclean thought. An unclean thought could pass right through your head, but you don't have to yield to it. You can rebuke
that's
it.
That's right.
You can rebuke it. You don't have to yield to it.
I can't wallow in sin. I just can't do it.
I can't either.
My spirit won't let me.
I can't either.
I can't, ma'am.
I can't either.
I feel so bad and so displaced. It's just miserable. It's very uncomfortable. It's very miserable. It's no peace. You lose your peace. You lose your peace. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I tell you the truth. It's sad when believers think they can straddle the fence. They think they can be on both sides of the fence. And they think God can't see what they're doing.
I called you, the Bible said, confess one fault to another. I confess my fault to you privately.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And that ain't nobody else's business.
Right.
That ain't nobody else's business. Because that's the thing. Because now is the time. If you breathe out and don't breathe back in with ungodly desires in your spirit, you're going to miss.
Right.
You're going to miss Jesus Christ.
Yep, and you wind up in hell. It's not easy to get to heaven. It's not easy to get to heaven, man. And I'm just so grateful. I could have been in hell. I could have been in hell 30 years ago. I could have been in hell 5 years ago. Hell, I could have been in hell 4 years ago.
Okay.
And his mercy. And when you get to a point, I'm 60. I'd be 61 years old. I don't know how long I'm gonna be here. This one guy, 67 years old, I used to speak to him up the street, had heart failure. He gone.
Gone.
Gone. You can be here today, tomorrow,
and gone
ain't promised to nobody. Repent every day.
We used to say be here today and gone tomorrow. You could be here this morning and gone this evening.
Yeah, that is so true, man.
Yeah, it can happen like that. It can happen like somebody say, "I just got off the phone with him." Yeah, when you hung up the phone, he took his last breath.
Lord have mercy.
So we have to live every moment. We got to live every moment. Like now is the time. None of us know when we gonna leave here. None of us know when Jesus gonna crack the sky. But one thing we do know that He is coming.
He's coming.
We know that for sure. He is coming. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a bride whose garment has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It has no spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a pure and holy bride. No sin. No sin. But you know, this is what I love about him. You know, all the sin that I have committed, I'm talking about me right now, all of the sin that I have committed, this is what the Word of God says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you know because of the blood of Jesus Christ, He's going to present me faultless.
Lord, have mercy.
As if
Taylor,
I never did any of that.
You're a blessing. And you know what? I'm going to say this here live broadcast. I want everybody to hear me. Sister Taylor, I ain't trying to put no badge on me or you, but we ain't bringing no entertainment. We teaching it. That's why we come with a lot of attacks.
That's exactly why.
If I was sugarcoating, everything be going fine. The man, the devil hit me in every kind of way you can think of. And he hit you too. He hitting a lot of deliverance.
Exactly.
Hard.
Yes.
Hard.
If you're in deliverance and you sincere about your calling, let me tell you something. This ain't no easy walk. And I listened to Derek Prince last night. Apostle, I want to ask you a question. Do you play him every Wednesday night?
Yes.
Do you play Derek Prince every Wednesday night?
Yes, I will be doing it because I had 500 emails. It will be on every Wednesday, Derek Prince.
Yeah, because I need to listen to him. I need to listen to him.
All right.
And you're the only person that I know. Yeah, that's some good teaching. That's some good teaching.
I got his
Me and my
whole,
husband listened to it last
archive.
Night. Yeah, we need to, yeah, we will be tuned in to that. See, preachers need to hear good teaching. Yeah, I need that teaching.
Yeah.
I listened to that man of God last night, and he said something that shot like an arrow straight to my heart. He said, being a prophet is a lonely walk. And it seemed like last night I got it. I finally got it. You know how you wish you had this one to go with you, and you wish you had that one that could go with you, and you just wish you had people that just loved you. But this is a lonely walk for the prophet of God. Lonely walk.
Yes, it
and
is.
And we might as well get used to it.
Yes, it is.
Might as well get used to it. Everybody ain't going to pray with you. Everybody ain't going to fast with you. Everybody ain't going to rejoice with you. Everybody ain't going to do them 3 and 4 day shut-ins with you. Everybody ain't going to do that.
Sure ain't. It sure
but
ain't.
That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. I know when I need to shut in. The Holy Spirit tells me, shut it down. Shut everything down.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. When I get back home, I'll be able to crank my ministry up even more because I got all of my information. When I go home,
Amen.
I kick it in triple gear. I'm going to be on radio from 8 in the morning to 8 at night all day because I got all my material. I got my stuff there. And while I'm home, I can be fixing my house and still keep my ministry in both countries. I can go anywhere in the world and do my ministry.
And you know, Apostle, you know, we're looking for somebody sometime, you know, because we human. We're looking for somebody to say, can I pray for you? People will eat from your table and won't even pray for you. They will eat from your table. They're getting fat from your table, and they won't even pray for you.
Yep.
They won't even say, you know, when I get out the pulpit preaching to countless other people, do you know nobody says, let me pray for this woman of God. She just came out the enemy's camp. People in the church, they just feasting on the word, but they don't think the preacher need prayer.
Wow. Yeah, and we need it more than anybody.
Anybody. They come with their plate and their fork, and they just pile it up, and they just feasting on the word of God. And then when you get through preaching, they done forgot that you just poured out of your spirit everything. You didn't hold back nothing, and they won't even say, come here, let me pray for you.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, they won't even do that. They don't cover the preachers in prayer no more. They don't cover the minister. Whoever was preaching the word, that person was in the enemy's camp. Because you cannot go into the enemy's camp and think you just going to come out and everything going to be hunky-dory. Satan coming after you. So when a person gets through preaching or teaching, that's the person that needs covered the most in prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
And see, them old church mothers, they knew that. They knew that. They used to cover whoever was preaching. They would pray for that individual. But now, it ain't no more church mothers. You know why? Because the church mothers, they trying to get them a boo. They trying to get a boo. I said, a boo? How in the world you going to get a boo when you're supposed to be the mother of the church?
What is a boo?
A boo is a boyfriend.
Oh, Lord, I don't know what those words are. Jesus.
Look, they told me, this is what they told me, Apostle. They told me, Sister Jan, you need a boyfriend. I told them boyfriend ain't in the Bible.
So they,
it's not in the Bible.
It ain't,
so I don't need nothing that
Bible.
Ain't in the
so
Bible. It's not in the Bible. But
ain't
I'm going to
no
tell you
thing.
Something.
Yep.
I met a woman of God. She be on television. She's power. If I call her name, you know her, but I'm not going to call her name. Powerful lady. She was one of those TV judges. Black lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her in New York City. And she was teaching, Apostle. And I was listening, because I can listen to another preacher. And she was teaching. And somebody asked a question about what do you do while you waiting for a husband. And she told them it was okay to masturbate. I raised my hand. I said, ma'am, that is not biblical. I said, that is not biblical.
Mercy.
I said, that is not biblical.
That's old man spirit. It's old
she
name.
Said, but
this
guess what
38
she said? She said, well, the mothers of the church where she grew up had taught them that they could take care of themselves while they was waiting for a husband. And she said, I said, that's ungodly. And I interrupted the service. I really did. And she said, what scripture do you have for it? And the only thing I had was when Onan withdrew himself and his seed went on the ground and God cursed him and he died. And she said, nah, that don't fit this. And I said, well, I do know that masturbation is not of God. I said, because for one thing, you have to use your imagination to masturbate. So we didn't argue about it. I interrupted the service, told her that wasn't of God, and that was the end of it. 1 year later, Apostle, that woman wrote me a letter, and she got the revelation that masturbation was not of God. And she apologized. She said, woman of God, you were right. Now, my only problem with that was you finally got the revelation about it, but you told them women in New York that it was okay. Because she said that's what the mother of the church told them when they were growing up. That it was okay to masturbate. I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. I said, I can't let you put that out here like that. I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. But a year later, she wrote me and she told me she was wrong and I was right.
Yeah.
You see what kind of teaching they got going on around here? A mother in the church told them that's what to do.
That's why the church is so messed up. People don't even know the Bible, man. And people don't even want to have no interest in the Bible. You know, I've never been like that. I've always, ever since I was a child, I remember when I was a Catholic, I used to pray to the Lord. When I was young, I ain't know the Bible, saying Our Fathers. Just praying. I used to pray young when I was a young kid. I didn't know the Bible, but I finally found it. But people are not interested in the truth. They don't want the truth.
Nope.
They just want the truth no more.
No, they don't.
People
want to
be.
And that's what we talked about tonight.
But you know what? Imagine, I heard you. Yeah. Yeah. They better do this here. They better start thinking like me. I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want to go to hell. If any of y'all hear me, I don't care what you've done. Tonight, repent. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to take the desire, whatever it is that's pulling you from God, out of your heart. Ask the Lord, please, Lord, help me get rid of it. Because I don't want to die and go to hell and be in hell for eternity. I don't want to do that.
Now is the time.
Now is the time. It was a good message. Chaplain Durden want to open up. Brother John, you got the mic.
Good evening, everybody. You know, I enjoy it especially because it brings back a lot of memory, you know, about salvation and following, you know, the rules of God. I can remember from the time I was a child all the way to the time I was 30, I was a Methodist. And sometime as a Baptist, and I thought I was on the road with all these ties like these and so forth, the kind of a thing. And part of what I got to say relates to you, my dear sister, when you said your whole family, everybody turned against you, you know, when you finally got saved. Well,
yes.
I was raised a Methodist, and so was my sister, my mother, and the whole aunties and uncles. And my sister, at the age of 14, somehow met a godly woman who she met somewhere, and persuaded her that she was unsaved and she needed to be saved. And she talked about the gifts, and my sister, I mean, swallowed the whole nine yards. So she said, why don't you come to my church? So my sister pretended like she was sick one day, and she was 14 years old, and she went to this charismatic church and got saved, got speaking tongues the whole nine yards. Well, she, on the way past that church, she was going to her church, she heard something and said, this is where you belong, my child. And she said she knew that was the Lord talking to her. And what happened was she had the same experience you had, all of us, including myself. I mean, you're talking about she had 12 aunties and 12 uncles all living in the same neighborhood and kind of thing like that. And when they found out, she said, I'm not going to our Methodist church no more. I'm going to this charismatic, full gospel church kind of a thing. Boy, they all turned on her. And to make a long story short, she caught hell from the time she was 14 to the time she was 20. They wouldn't invite her to none of the family things. They even went into the church and dragged her out of there. They even went to this Pentecostal church and stood by the window and screamed at her, come out of this crazy church, you crazy girl, and this kind of thing. Christmas comes, she never got any gifts. Thanksgiving, whatever the situation was, they excluded her, even on family picnics. Family on going to New York and other places like that, they excluded her,
yeah,
kind of a thing. And she caught the whole nine yards. Then finally, I was one too. You know, I called her every name under the sun. You know, that young lady, she prayed for me for 15 years. I'm praying for my brother. She prayed for me and prayed for me. And guess what? One night as I was going to bed, I heard this voice says, son, you need to be saved. You do not know me. And you need to apologize to your sister. Now, mind you, she's been praying for me about 21, 22 years. From the time she was 13 or 14, all the way up to she was in her 30s, praying for me that I get saved. And what happened was, as I was an executive specialist working for the Department of the Army, I went to bed one night, and this voice said, my son, you need to apologize to your sister. You must apologize to her sister. She's been praying for you for 20-something years. I heard this in my spirit, and I go, wow. So when that Sunday morning when I woke up, my mother-in-law told me, well, you ready to go? I said, I don't feel too good today, Mom, Grandma, and so on and so on. She said, okay. And I sneaked to her church, and I go, I'm sitting down in the back row. And then the pastor said, oh, we have a guest. Oh, what's your name, sir? My sister around was shocked to see me. And I said, oh, I just visited. Thank you. And some say, now go and apologize to your sister for all that hell that she received from you and your family. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I got up, I walked up, and had about like 500 people in that church. I walked up there and said, looking in front, and I looked at her, and tears started coming. I was looking at her, what's the matter, John? And then I said, sis, I'm sorry. And I told the whole church how the family mistreated her, excluded her in family affairs and picnics and everything else. And then, I broke down and cried. And the whole congregation came up and hugged me and says, oh, wow, we never seen anything like this. The Lord had me to go to her Pentecostal church and apologize to her for how we treated her from her childhood, 13, all the way to the present age she was at 30. She was still catching hell from them. But I was the first one to apologize. And then when I apologized, she hugged me and cried in my arms. And I went home, and the family was having a painting. You know what I did, Lord? Now you go talk to them. And I said, you know, I went to my son. What? You went there? You know, kind of a thing. And I said, yeah, I went there, and guess what? I got what she got. I got the Lord. And I said, if any one of you hurt my sister again, y'all gonna have to deal with me personally. I don't care if you're a man or woman, y'all leave my sister alone. She's a child of God. And I said, guess what? I'm a child of God myself. I got the whole nine yards.
Amen.
And, man, they all looked at me, boy, and I said, now I'm going back to Atlanta where I live. But I tell you one thing, don't you let her call me and say y'all call her stupid and everything. I'll go to her church and try to snatch her out of the church and all this stuff and evade her from participating in family affairs. And she said, y'all going to deal with me. I don't care if you're my auntie, uncle. Y'all going to deal with me in Jesus' name. And I walked out. So I was on yeah, and that's what happened, you know. Wow. And then I'm sitting in my office, and then said, John, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I started thinking, I said, wow, I know what that is now. And so I told my sister, she said, you come down here because you know your preacher don't do that, you know. I said, yeah. So I went down to Savannah, and the preacher said, well, I know you're born again because I saw you and I heard your testimony and everything else, but you got to be right with God. If you're lying, masturbating, doing this and doing that. He named any kind of sin he can think of. I said, I ain't doing none of them. I ain't stupid. I'm born again now. You know, I didn't know what born again meant all that time. I thought you was mad. So he said, the Lord says you're right. Now go down there and thank him for having what you want. I thought I was going to trick the Lord, you know. He said, well, what gifts are you asking, seeking? I said, I know how I can trick the Lord. I'm going to ask for tongues because everybody know tongue has feet. You know, I'm saying that. But I said, but I still couldn't believe it. I didn't receive it in my heart. So Pastor said, what do you want, Brother John? I said, I want the gift of tongues. And he said, you already had it. You had it when you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. You're a righteous man. Now, if he was backsliding and all this, he wouldn't get it. But the Lord told me, you follow him the best way you can. You're right. So I went. So he said, go down and ask him for it. I said, Lord, and thank you for it. And I asked him, you got it when you were born again. So I said, okay, Lord. And I just got quiet. And he says, John, I don't hear you speak. I said, well, he hasn't given it to me yet. He said, you got to open your mouth and start talking. I said, okay, just thank him. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then shook it up. And boy, it went out and started flowing and everything else. And I went, boy, I went home back to my grandmom and all those Methodist folks and said, listen, y'all. And I started speaking in tongues from all of them. And I walked out. Said, it's all late. I jumped in my car and went back to came back to Atlanta. And guess what? All of them shunted us and everything else up until they were in their 80s. Then the Lord said, John, you've been praying for your mom. You go down to Savannah and talk to her. I'm with you. I went down there and just after she had the TV on, I turned to Billy Graham thingamajig, and I said, turn that on. And she said, oh, that's Billy Graham. I said, turn it. Now leave it right there. I said, okay. And then he started talking. His sermons on salvation. And he said, now, minister, because I've been ministering to her heart. And I led my mom to the Lord, you know, at the age of 80. You know.
Wow.
And then the Lord, and then he said, go over there. And I went to my other aunties because grandmama had like six girls and six boys. And I went to all the girls and led them to the Lord.
And that amen. Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it was
back,
a good
right
teacher.
Quick,
Go ahead, brother John. I'm sorry.
Okay,
go ahead.
Now, I want to close with this. You know, I love the sermon and stuff. I mean, the teaching. And you talk about how in the latter days, you know, that men and women so forth and godly and people going to change and everything else. And so I made a little list. I said, yeah, lesbian. I said, wow. Yeah, lesbian is one. I've seen a whole lot of girls that I grew up with turning out to be lesbian. But then what hurts me the most is most people who call me when Brother Him and I be teaching, we always have the majority of 90% of them are ministers and evangelists and deacons and so forth calling us. And then because they don't like our teaching, instead of saying they're going to kill us or beat the H out of us and everything, they're going to ball jack us. And then I finally realize what it means. They're coming down here and they're going to make love to our behinds. And if they like it enough, they'll kidnap us and take us into a private resort and use us as male prostitutes. And come to find out, half of them had already mothers who were prostitutes and stuff. I mean, doing that. And got a lot of men caged in highway places and prostituting these old men. They're black and white kind of a thing. And another thing, I quit 5 minutes. I said, look here, man, you talking about you going to ball jack me? You supposed to be a preacher? I said, yeah. I said, man, don't you know that's out of, man, that's sin. Well, you see, you behind times. This is the one I want to kick on. It says, things have changed. Theology has changed, and you're living in the old days. I said, what you mean to tell me that God now says it's okay for a man to go to bed with another man? That's what I'm saying. God is cool. He's updated.
They
and
compromise.
I go, well, you and I,
they compromise. Yeah. They compromise.
And we get threats every day from ministers, not from streeters, but from ministers talking about they coming down here to ball jack us because they don't like us teaching about the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that, ministers? And I challenged him, I said, what are you talking about, man? Don't you know what the Bible say? He said, well, I see you're ignorant of the Bible. We're in the updated time. We're not back in the first century, boy. You know? I said,
Did you know that T.D. Jake said he has no problems coexisting with homosexuals?
I guess he said that.
Did you hear that, Evangelist Taylor?
Yeah, he did say that. He said that that we need to the word that he used was that sort of like update. We need to come up to date.
Theology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's what's very scary. That's more sinful then you committing one particular sin toward yourself because you're causing other people to sin when you teach something like that when people don't know the Bible.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But, you know, he says
boy.
A lot of things that's kind of like off the chart. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'll say it, and I ain't going to back down. When people say stuff like that, they got hidden agendas.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got a hidden agenda.
Okay. They compromise
the
word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he
talks about And then you were talking about having a form of godliness, you know, and that's what it is. I have found that most, the majority of these ministers who call, the ones who don't call, probably the one who love to teach and everything else. But the calls we get are all those who want to ball jack us because they don't like what we're teaching about tongues and these kinds of things.
And they be threatening us too, Sister Taylor. They threaten us.
I know it.
Yeah, they come. They come.
World
they come. They drive
in,
for 3 days. Yeah, some drove a whole week to get to us.
Well, you know, I ain't worried about y'all because I know Apostle ain't nothing to play with.
No,
yeah,
I ain't
know
even worried about that. I ain't playing with that.
Okay.
I know I'm born again in faith. I'm born again in spirit filled. I do got an AK-47, an HK-91, and a 10mm. I ain't playing that. I ain't playing that.
I know it.
I ain't playing that. I ain't got time for that. The world is coming to an end, Sister Taylor. It's too much evil. You wake up one day, people get killed in Buffalo. Then the next day, a whole mass murder. I said, Lord, what is this? It's a spirit
Apostle,
of murder. It's a
Apostle, I want you to do something right quick. I want you to go over, because I tried to touch on it, but I didn't hit it right. Go over the parallel between Matthew 24, the days of the coming of the Lord, and what you talked about in Genesis chapter 6.
Now?
Yeah, just because I know I didn't do it justice.
Wait a minute. Let me get the teaching. Wait a minute.
Okay. Because we living in that day. We living in that time. Now is the time. We are living in that time. And I can see the violence. The violence. You know, a young boy came up here, moved to North Carolina from Atlanta, Georgia. His auntie moved him up here, him and his mama, to get him away from trouble. Do you know he got in a fight with his next-door neighbor? And they killed him.
Wow.
The last
he moved from Atlanta to get
door,
go ahead, Apostle.
For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark. And there was violence throughout the earth and corruption in Genesis 6:11, corruption in Genesis 6:12. The thought life of the people was very wicked in Genesis 6:1-12, just as it is today. There's no difference between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And that's where we're living at now, in those times. This teaching I got, guess who I learned this from? Derek Prince.
Yes.
And you
and
hit it real good when you hit 2 Timothy 3:1-5. You was on there. There's sexual perversion. The earth is filled with violence, corrupt thought life. In the last days, Noah features that the Bible tells us that satanic infiltration came and corrupt the whole lifestyle of people. You got Christians born again. I had a brother-in-law called, his name is James Jones. He loved Donald Trump. Donald Trump, 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 Trump. I said, Trump is not saved. Trump is not born again. Stop getting out of politics and the Democratic Party and the Independent Party and the Republican Party. All these things ain't nothing but the systems of the world, and to get you to believe in, I like his policies. I said, what about his character? What about the character? Stop people trusting in politicians. They trust in anything, but they ain't trusting the Lord. And just when the days of Noah was, they was laughing at Noah when Noah was building the ark. They was laughing. And people today are laughing at true gospel. They don't want true gospel. So what's being replaced is another Jesus. And that's in 2 Corinthians 11:4. That other Jesus don't have nothing to do with deliverance. In the end times, you can go Matthew 24:35-37. It's no different than Matthew 24. It's no different than 2 Corinthians. The gospel had to was lost in those days. God was just gone. And the Bible mm-hmm. says it will be like that again, and it's just like that now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's why now
is the time. You know what, apostles?
Yes.
It won't be long. It won't be long before they make the Bible illegal to own it.
Oh,
and
I already know that's coming.
Why.
I'm gonna tell you. That's coming. That's coming, Sister Taylor. Let me tell you why that's coming.
That's right.
And I'm gonna say this to the whole audience. They took me off YouTube illegally. I have permission from Derek Prince Ministries. I've been with Derek Prince Ministries for 15 years. I got associated with them when I first got into the ministry. They know me in the United States. The Derek Prince Ministries that's owned by another private owner in Australia did not know me.
Uh-huh.
And they saw the stream that I was putting on YouTube from Derek Prince. And then they sent a proposal saying, we don't know him. I had to get Derek Prince Ministries to send a proposal back to YouTube, and they gave me 3 days. They deliberately did that. I got a lawyer now. I'm going to get back on there. But there's going to be a time when there ain't going to be no more YouTube, ain't going to be no more Facebook, ain't going to be no more teaching of the gospel. They're going to try to shut that down because they don't want you to know the truth.
Yep.
This is why I got www.livedeliverance.com. If don't, and now if they shut that down, then you telling me I can't own a radio station. I pay every month. I pay over $700 a month on my bills to run a radio station. And I'm on www.livedeliverance.com. Derek Prince will be on there tonight. Everybody's been requesting for Derek Prince. He's very, very popular on my radio station. I know one thing. I don't trust in Facebook anymore. I don't trust in YouTube. I'm going to get back on YouTube because it's the dignity. There ain't nobody. I said, Lord, I'm going to get back on here, and I'm going to sue him. Because the guy was very nice to me in New Zealand. He said, we didn't know. He said, I'll try to send the retractor. It was too late. YouTube shut it down. They shut it down because they don't want the Ministry of Deliverance on there.
They don't. They don't. Yeah, they don't. They won't mind if you go out there saying, oh, it's your breakthrough, or money cometh, or you about to become a millionaire. They wouldn't mind if you were doing that.
You said it all day. You said it all day.
And send me $200, and I got a word for you from the Lord. They wouldn't care if you were doing that.
I was bringing some heavy hitting stuff on YouTube. I had 1,227 subscribers.
Okay.
And the devil hit me. I got that money. I got that money to send. I sent that money off.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like it when the word of God is coming forth with some power.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't want to hear that.
They shut me down on Twitter. You remember that message I preached, I hope you die?
Yeah.
They shut that down for 3 days, and then they put it back up. Because I told them I wasn't wishing death on nobody. I was talking about using it as a spiritual metaphor.
Oh.
I hope that flesh
died.
I hope your flesh
died.
Yeah, they put.
Can't trust these sites. You can't trust these sites no more. They're going worldly. That's a worldly system that we preach it through. And I won't be surprised that so-called Blog Talk don't bother me. I pay my bills. I've been with them 15 years. I thank the Lord for Blog Talk because they don't interfere. They ain't never interfered with me here. They've never interfered with me. As a matter of fact, Sister Taylor, the Lord got my sites out. And if you go to Google and type in Emmett Overton, your sermon, Sister Taylor, on iPad, iHeart. Just go to Google and type in Emmett Overton. You're going to see your name. It's going to say Live Deliverance, Janice Taylor. You everywhere. You about on 46 stations right now, both of us. I don't know how the Lord did it, but the gospel was out there. I'm on 47 podcasts right now.
Wow.
47. The Lord did that. I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
Yeah, because we ain't paying for it. So, I guess it's free.
Yeah, it is.
But they getting
error code Air code 515, we have Evangelist Janice Taylor here. Would you like to talk to her? Air code 515.
Yes. Hi. I appreciate it. Just calling in, kind of desperate for just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment for my husband. He'll be in the room in a second. He has a cough, and I'm not exaggerating. He's been coughing like every 5 minutes for about a month. He's had this cough for 20 years, but he's gotten healed before, and it will leave for like a year. We have fasted and prayed, done our own deliverance of other people, healing. He doesn't have any addictions or crazy besetting sins. You know, he's not perfect, but he is. It's not like,
man,
like
none of us perfect. Ain't nobody perfect here. All of us just in one body as believers trying to get to heaven. Ain't nobody perfect here.
Amen.
I know I'm the worst of all apostles, so don't let that bother you here. We love you. Are you in the deliverance ministry and your husband?
We are. We haven't been released to like we don't have a website. And like we're not like doing it yet because we've just been in preparation but we are. We're called.
And that's why you're under attack. That's why you're under attack. Evangelist Taylor is going to tell you why you're under attack.
And I want to ask you a question, my precious sister.
Yeah.
Is your husband taking a medication called lisinopril?
No.
Okay, it's a blood pressure medication, and it's called lisinopril. Reason I ask, because I used to take that medication, and it produces that cough. It produces bad cough.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off of it, and my cough went away.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a lady. Was a lady that worked in the pharmacy. She told me, I said, this stuff makes me cough. She told me that she was taking it, and it produces a cough. She said it produces a bad cough. And I told my doctor about it. They know that it does this, but they just tell people to go ahead and take it. But I told my doctor, I said, I'm not taking that anymore because it produces an excessive cough. So once I got off of lisinopril, I stopped that coughing.
Did they put you on a different medication?
They did. They put me on a different one that doesn't produce that cough. But lisinopril is known for producing this cough. It's a hacking cough. It's not anything wrong with you. It's bad cough that comes from taking lisinopril.
Well, you know, I'm on lisinopril, and as soon as I get back to Atlanta, I'm gonna tell them to change that.
Yeah, yeah. That lisinopril produces
a
bad cough.
I'm gonna tell them to change that. I didn't know that.
So that's why when she talked about that bad cough,
let me pray
for him.
Yeah.
Where's your husband? Get him on the phone.
He's right here. His name is Alan.
Hi Alan.
Okay.
My son, my middle son's name is Alan. So we just want to lift you up. Father, we just thank you for Alan and his wife and the deliverance ministry that you have called them to. God, we thank you for how you just cleared up a major problem with this lisinopril and this hacking cough, God. We thank you that you are the Lord that healeth him, and that by your stripes, you paid for his healing with your stripes and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only purchased our salvation, but it also purchased his healing. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory. And right now, God, we take authority over that cough right now, and we command the enemy that's attacking him to cease his attack right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We rebuke him and we plead the blood of Jesus over him. We bind up that cough. We bind up the enemy. We bind up every plot and plan of the enemy. We bind up every attack that's coming against this couple. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now that you have given him the victory. Thanks be unto God that always causes him to triumph in Christ Jesus. And God, we thank you that your word, hallelujah, is forever settled in heaven. We thank you that he is healed, he is saved, he is delivered, and he is set free. free by the power of God. And we give thy name the praise, Jesus. We pray for his wife who's been standing by his side. We pray for their ministry, for their children. We pray for their home. God, we pray for their marriage. You said the two flesh become one. And so they will stand together as one in ministry for you, God. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Most High God. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ma'am, may I ask both of you, brothers and sisters, something? Have you ever heard of this brother named Derek Prince?
Yeah, we love him. We listen to him even, you know, throughout the years. We listen to him. I just listened to him again recently.
Well, I have him on here in the Blog Talk Room every Wednesday.
Okay.
And you can go to www.livedeliverance.com and listen to Derek Prince and Frank Hammond and Win Worley. If you're in the deliverance ministry, hang around us. Come to the room. I get to know you. You know, the Lord move on my heart to open up a door for you. I will. I'm not a selfish pastor. You know, we're all in this together. It's not a lot of us in the deliverance ministry, but those who are in this ministry, we have to stick together. And come in on Wednesdays, and you can go to www.livedeliverance.com, and you can listen to Derek Prince, Frank Hammond. We have a lot of deliverance sermons on our 24-hour internet radio. And just come in the room on Fridays and keep up with us, because we all need each other.
That's awesome. Yes, we do. Thank you. We certainly do. And thank you for the prayers. It means so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. But amen,
thank
Sister Taylor.
Sister.
And it was a blessing to meet you tonight. And God bless everybody. Sister Taylor, you brought that word tonight, and I really enjoyed it. And God bless everybody. I'll be back in the United States June 1st. I live in two countries, Kingston, Jamaica, and I'm coming back home for about a good year to take care of some things and to reestablish some personal things in my life with my house. God bless everybody. Evangelist Taylor, thank you. My new sisters, Aircode 515, I got your number. Come in on Wednesdays. If you need to call us to talk to me, you can dial 678-701-3733. It's a Skype telephone number. It's a public number for anyone to call. And you're welcome to come into this room. We won't be in the room tomorrow because I do deliverance. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we be in here. Monday, Steve Lee teaches. Tuesday, I teach. Wednesday, Derek Prince. And Thursday, Evangelist Taylor teach. And come and join us for prayer, because it's not easy in this ministry. God bless everybody. Evangelist Taylor, once again, tell everybody where people can sow a seed to your ministry at and your music.
Amen. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor, just giving the Lord praise and thanks for this opportunity to be with you tonight. All the glory belongs to God. You can find us here at Walls of Fire, deliverancemin.com. That's www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. At P.O. Box 1148, Walker Town, North Carolina, 27051. Area code 336-575-0206. You can get that CD, A New Beginning, at cdbaby.com or on iTunes. Email us at jet245@msn.com. May God bless you. May heaven smile on you. Grace and peace. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. If you'd like to sow a seed, you have the information where you can sow that seed to. God bless you.
And we're going to go out with a song by Evangelist Janice Taylor, I Got Joy.